my advice to supply chain leaders, manufacturing leaders, is remember that their world still has to continue outside tariffs.
Welcome back to Evolving Your Workplace, where we discuss real-time workplace issues with experts to get you the best solutions for your company. I'm your host, Carol Schultz, longtime executive coach and professional recruiter and best-selling author. Let's get into it. Greetings, everyone. Welcome back to Evolving Your Workplace. I'm Carol Schultz. Today, we're going to discuss the hot topic of tariffs. And if you haven't heard about the tariffs, you must be living under a rock. So we're going to talk about how they relate to your workplace and if they even relate to your workplace. So this is an episode for leaders out there curious to find out the ways that tariffs may be affecting your workplace that you may not even realize. So joining me today, I have Matt Spooner, a supply chain expert. Matt, thanks for joining me. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about your area of focus before we get into the meat of the conversation?
Yeah. Hi, Carolyn. Thanks very much for having me on your pod today. Yeah, I've been a supply chain, working in the supply chain for the last 30 years. And my career has spanned leading supply chain in big industrial organizations like Ericsson and ABB, but also in supply chain advisory at companies like Gartner, and also more recently in the supply chain software industry at Kinaxis, who's one of the leading supply chain solution providers. So I've seen supply chain from pretty much every aspect. And my particular area of deep expertise is really around supply chain planning, supply chain execution. And in the last, 3 months or so, I've been really focused on the topic of tariffs and the impact that tariffs are going to have or are having on global supply chains.
Well, so let's get right into the main question, which is how do you see tariffs recently put into place affecting workplaces, if at all, over the next few months?
Yeah, so I think that the tariffs are, particularly for organizations, manufacturing organizations, organizations that have large supply chain functions, are another major disruption. We've had several major disruptions, and the tariffs is the latest of the disruptions. And the biggest impact that I think it's having is around reshaping global trade. Global supply chains are incredibly interconnected. So it's a product which might be manufactured in the US probably has flows that go into Canada and Mexico and China and Europe. Almost every single product has international components. And by and large, supply chains have been pretty stable in terms of the trading relationships over the last 10 years or so. And so by the implementation of tariffs, people are really having to work out, well, what does this mean in terms of the way that we look at the supply chain, the way that we look at supply chain networks? And I also think that from the supply chain community, there's an excessive amount of catastrophizing about what the impacts are going to be. I'll give you one example. We're hearing an awful lot in the news about soy farmers in the US and about export, that China is their largest export market, and China, resourcing all of its soybeans from Brazil and from Latin America. And that's undoubtedly true. But the soy farms in Brazil were producing soy and they had other customers previously. And so if China is buying all of their products, those other customers who used to be buying it from Brazil are going to have to be looking elsewhere. And so they will probably be looking at US producers. So the US producers will undoubtedly be losing, a very stable market, but there will be different markets will be emerging as well. So there's this reshaping of trade. And I think in the short term, this is really going to impact. And if I think particularly about the workplace, what does this mean? I think it means that firstly, that people and organizations are going to have to think a lot more critically about, they can't just accept the status quo. It actually changes the way that people in the organizations need to think. And they need to look at different opportunities and not just accept this is a catastrophe, but accept that there are, huge opportunities. The other impact, which I think is going to have on in the short term, particularly in the US, is on small businesses. On small businesses which are very highly driven by importing products. I think that large multinationals, I think, will be fine. I think large multinationals will, you know, reshape the demand and supply flows, you know, around the world in response, and they'll rebalance. But these small independent companies who are importing, you know, goods from China are suddenly going to see, they are seeing right now, significant increase in their products. And a lot of them have got stocks that they might have put in place because they were worried about tariffs. But as that inventory starts running down and they then going to have to buy new products from other markets, that those new products are going to be a lot more expensive. And then it's a question about those organizations. How do they survive?
Right. And I'm really glad you actually brought that up, Matt. I was listening to a story on my local public radio station. It's been within this past week. And they interviewed the owner of a custom bike shop. And he said, if I recall, they had something like 150 or 200 bicycles left. And Colorado is a massively huge cycling state, right? And he said, if those tariffs stay in place, he says he guarantees he'll be out of business.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, cycling is a passion of mine. I've lost count of how many bikes that I own. So I've done a bit of work as well with the cycling industry. And unfortunately, that is a really good industry to select, because it's an industry which has a very, very old-fashioned supply chain. It's an industry which has a supply chain which lacks resilience. So it lacks the ability to deal with these type of shocks. It was hit really, really hard in the post-COVID period. And so the cycle industry is still reeling. And actually, I think that there is a huge opportunity. If you look at what's happened in Europe, for example, on the cycling industry, Pond Bikes, who is one of the largest high-end bike manufacturers in the world, they own brands like Santa Cruz and Cervelo. They have in 2024, they opened a huge manufacturing plant in Lithuania. Then you've got Bianchi, one of the most famous bike brands in the world, last year opened a brand new factory in Italy. And so I think the idea behind tariffs is that actually that it's going to encourage that type of investment in the US. So maybe one of the things that we will see is that some of these niche industries will actually see some form of, you know, increase in manufacturing, because at the moment, I may be wrong, but I don't think that there are any really large scale bicycle manufacturers in the US anymore. Whereas I think you are seeing that in Europe. So maybe there will be, not in the short term, but maybe there will actually be an upside in some of those industries.
You know, I have to wonder, Matt, when I see companies like Microsoft announcing that it's going to 86.3% or about 6,000 of its workforce worldwide, of which a third of that or 2,000 is in their headquarters. What I ask myself when I see that in the news are the tariffs just an excuse for them to lay people off?
Yeah, I think I have to be very careful about what you say here, but I mean, there's an old saying about never let a good crisis go to waste. And I think there certainly is a bit of, I'm not going to take maybe quite such a cynical perspective, but there is, in certain industries, there is pressure on improving efficiencies. And maybe the situation with tariffs has just pushed those organizations over the edge, where they say, actually, we really need to accelerate driving that increase in efficiencies. So I think that, yeah, there might be, the situation with tariffs might actually be accelerating some of these decisions that the large organizations like Microsoft, you know, are having to make. And yeah. Microsoft, I mean, we think about Microsoft being a software company, but actually it's it does have a huge amount of hardware. It does have a huge amount of server farms, you know, that they're investing to support AI in the future, and a lot of that material comes from China. So they are actually under pressure from tariffs. And we may not think that they are, but the reality is that they are being impacted.
Well, and listen, there are certain rare earth minerals we just don't have in the United States that other countries have that are used in manufacturing of products that we need, right? And that's kind of what I think I'm, you know, hearing you say. Do you think this tariff situation is changing the mindset of workers at all regardless of industry. You know, for example, we may have heard, you know, the tariff effect with a spike of iPhone purchases, right? Due to people's fear of, you know, like a $1,200 phone is now going to be even more expensive.
I think undoubtedly. So I think that there's a number of things that we could potentially see. We've been seeing for probably the last, 30 years, a shift from purchasing from buying hardware to buying software, for example, for our entertainment and, you know, rather than necessarily buying a games console, buying a digital content, a new game. And I think so what we actually might see is shift, you know, an acceleration of, you know, digital content and purchasing digital items as opposed to physical hardware as that physical hardware becomes more expensive. I think that we will see there has been, again, over several decades, there's been this push to buy things at the lowest possible cost, almost, you know, products which have become almost disposable. And one of the poster child is the, you know, fast fashion industry. Well, fast fashion is, well, what do you do if you're in the fast fashion industry and suddenly you're facing huge tariffs because of where you manufacture those products? So, and maybe that's not such a bad thing. It's exactly. So I think that we will undoubtedly see some changes in behaviors, and such as, you know, buying that, you know, iPhone ahead of time, I think, yes, that's a maybe very short term, but I think what we might see is some longer term changes as well.
Well, and what I think, you know, so many people may not realize is, of course, you know, the United States is a consumable, you know, we consume, we don't produce so much anymore, you know, as opposed to a country like China that consumes very little. And I bet most Americans don't realize it's because they're taxed on consumables in a way that's very, very high that we are not taxed on here in the States. So, you know, people are really not consuming so much. They're producing.
Yeah.
Which is great if people think it's an even trade. Okay. You know, and then, you know, if we look at all the technology companies, right? Technology companies, you know, software is not a consumable. It's not, let's call it, it's not really a product. It's not a tangible product because everybody's working in the cloud now. So those shouldn't have tariffs on them.
Yeah, no, and you know, software and services, which is where the US is, you know, it's far greater exporter of software and services than it is of hardware. And as you say, all of that, you know, all of those software and services are really not impacted by tariffs in, you know, at the moment in any way. So the greatest element of US exports are not being impacted. So again, that's what I almost talk about when, you know, there's a tendency to catastrophize about, you know, what might be happening, where maybe the impact is not going to be as bad. Maybe there will be ways of mitigating some of these changes and some of these impacts.
Well, and for me, listen, I don't need a new vehicle. That's, you know, that's good news for me. Because as you pointed out, you know, I mean, I have a truck and I have a car. And even though both of the, you know, one was made in Detroit and the other one was made in Bowling Green, Kentucky, right, where these companies are headquartered. And all those parts don't come from this country. So it is what it is. So, I mean, the whole problem is, of course, punishing people. And so maybe we consume a little bit less here. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, well, we can consume less or consume slightly differently. Another example is, around foods. And maybe one of the changes is actually a change to consuming more seasonal vegetables as opposed to imported, imported vegetables. You know, so, and that may well help, you know, local producers, if there's becomes more of a focus. So, you know, some of it is maybe a correction where there will be people who, you know, are negatively impacted mm-hmm. by it. But maybe society as a whole might be positive as well for, you know, might have some positive consequences as well.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm an advocate. Like, I don't ever eat a tomato if it doesn't come from my garden. Or if, you know, because I have a late growing season here because of my altitude, I'll buy it from the local farmer's market because they're, you know, they're shipping that stuff in from somewhere much warmer in Colorado, right? It's not being shipped in from out of state. So I'm a big advocate of, you know, you talk about, you know, eating food, you know, shopping and eating seasonally.
Yeah.
I don't eat melons. I don't eat peaches, except when they come from Colorado in July and August. I can live like that with that. And it's fine for me. And I think people need to just start getting used to not being so spoiled as to be able to have everything you want at any time you want. Right. So, you know, do you have any advice for leaders and let's think about it, leaders in manufacturing industries that are actually producing stuff, right? Not the technology or, you know, where we're not going to be tariffed on, but advice to leaders when it comes to communicating with their people.
Yeah. And so just an interesting story. So this week I attended a conference in Amsterdam, a supply chain conference in Amsterdam. And the thing that was most interesting was that tariffs weren't discussed once in the whole conference. And when I'm hearing about, you know, conferences, because this is the conference season, supply chain conferences in the US, like the big Gartner conference, which happened about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, was dominated by conversation of tariffs. When I look at my LinkedIn feed, which is largely US-centric, is dominated by the conversation of tariffs. And my advice to supply chain leaders, manufacturing leaders, is remember that their world still has to continue outside tariffs. And there's a great risk that if you get bogged down with just focusing on this sole topic of tariffs and how to respond to tariffs, then the rest of the world is going to start developing or progressing its capabilities, maybe more around AI and agentic AI and all of these other, you know, capabilities which are being developed by other countries, and they might get left behind. So I think my first piece of advice is, you know, don't get, you know, completely obsessed with tariffs. Remember that you need to invest in the long term. The second, you know, I think the piece of advice that I would have is that now is a really good time in terms of responding to tariffs and thinking again more about the long term, using this as a time to modernize the supply chain in terms of an opportunity to refresh manufacturing, to drive, you know, to invest a lot in, say, automation in factories, to improve quality, to improve responsiveness. So I think one example of that is Kraft Heinz announced this week that they're investing $3 billion modernizing 30 facilities in the U.S.
Facilities that they are already working in, or are they purchasing these facilities and bringing business here?
So, this is 30 facilities that they're currently working in. But what that means is that as they modernize those facilities, and those facilities can produce more economically and can create higher output, one potential negative consequence might be that they reduce the amount of people. Or the other consequence is that actually they can produce a can of, you know, Heinz baked beans at a much lower cost, and that then becomes a lot more attractive to export as well. So maybe, you know, that they can start competing more efficiently with, you know, some of the low cost countries by, you know, using this as a time to invest in more manufacturing. And I say it could go both ways. It could be positive for people, or it could be negative, just depending on the what happens.
I've also heard that about, you know, companies investing in efficiencies. And I also heard a story recently that there are unions that are very against this in some of the unionized plants, because they're afraid of just what you suggested may happen. The more efficient a plant is, the fewer people they will need. There'll be more people out of work. Will that happen? I don't know. I'm not omniscient. I don't imagine you are omniscient either. We can only speculate what might happen. And of course, should this come to fruition in that way, that we have massive layoffs, I mean, this is not good for this country if that happens, because of course then the unemployment rate will skyrocket, and, you know, who knows what that could do to our economy here.
I mean, that certainly could be true, but I also, you know, I don't think that any, and yeah, I've spent a career in supply chain, I don't think that any or very many, you know, chief operating officers or manufacturing directors ever think, well, we want to go and make this plant so much more efficient so that we can lay off a load of staff. They say, we want to make this plant so much more efficient so that we can go and, you know, produce more cheaply, gain market share. People, I think, are inherently want to be positive about this. And if you come with a mindset of, well, we want to accept very inefficient manufacturing plants that employ lots and lots of people because that keeps people in jobs, that's a one-way street. That's a one-way street to terminal slow decline. And you know, that's never going to have a good long-term consequence. So I think it's always better to try and invest in the future, invest in becoming more efficient. And
if companies, you know, don't do any of this, they stagnate, right? I mean, I'm just playing devil's advocate over here, right? As, you know, this could happen or that could happen. But, you know, to your point, whatever this union was that they were talking about, thinking, well, no, we don't want these efficiencies because, you know, they're going to put our people out of work. Well, you don't really, like you said, you don't really know that that's going to happen. And maybe it will make people's jobs a little bit easier. And to your point, we may be able to produce more and produce it at a lower cost. And who knows what will happen, right, as a consequence of that. You know, you mentioned the Kraft Heinz investment. There was also ABI, which is, you know, InBev that acquired Anheuser-Busch. And this is St. Louis, and that was originally, that was big news when that did happen, when InBev bought Anheuser-Busch. But that they're also going to invest about $300 million in U.S. facilities. I don't know all the details about that. You know, I know we've got, you know, there's an Anheuser-Busch plant here up in Fort Collins, Colorado. So, you know, they've got them around the country. And, you know, if it's, like I said, if it can help them produce more for less, well, that's a good thing.
Yeah. And actually, I think that ABI plant that they were talking about improving the investment in is actually the one in Colorado. So it's it could well be your local manufacturing plant. So one of the impacts that I think tariffs is having is for manufacturing companies is that it might not be increasing the amount that they're investing globally. And this is for the multinationals like ABI and like Kraft Heinz. But what it might be is that they're changing their investment strategy and investing money in US plants that they, you know, might have been a lower priority. So they might have been still in the plan for investment in the next 5 years, but they've actually been bumped up so organizations are changing their priorities.
Yeah, you know, I want to just circle back for a minute to your comment about being in Amsterdam at this conference. And I do want to note you live in Switzerland. So you're, you know, right on the pulse of what people are talking about in Europe. I do want to point out that I have not heard a single person in my business talk about tariffs. Not one. Sorry, we can't hire you because of tariffs, or we can't, you know, invest in this business because of tariffs. I haven't heard anybody talking about that.
Okay. I mean, that's so maybe it's actually more of, you know, functionally specific is that, you know, when you're talking about people in supply chain. And I think the supply chain are really on the front line of tariffs. It's about, you know, what do you do and how do you mitigate the impact and how do you influence your supply chain and manufacturing strategy? So maybe that's why it's having so much noise in the supply chain.
Yeah, interesting. Anything that we have missed talking about that you think is important that we talk about it as it relates to, you know, companies here and leadership and how they handle it?
I mean, it's such a huge topic that we could probably sort of talk about tariffs for a lot longer, but I think we've covered the main thing. And I think that the message that I really want to leave organizations with is like two messages. The one is look for the upsides. Really look for the future. It's a very high disruption in the short term, but actually I think that there will be organizations who will be able to manage the situation, will actually come out of who in a year's time will be even stronger than they are today because of the decisions that they're taking in the short term. Yeah, so that I think is the main message I want to leave people with.
Well, Matt Spooner, thanks so much for joining me. This was we'd been wanting to talk about this, and I think that, you know, it, like I said, it has just practically taken over the news here in the United States, and I think it's worth, you know, talking about it in a different way rather than talking about how, you know, dramatic and how horrible they are and the rest, all the possible good things that may come out of this. So I appreciate your time and your 30 plus years of experience in the supply chain field.
Thanks very much. Thanks, Carol. It's been really good speaking to you today.
Thanks for listening to Evolving Your Workplace. Is there a topic you want to discuss? Let us know what you think in a review. And don't forget to click follow to stay up to date on upcoming episodes. Thanks again for listening, and see you next time.